Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters, or afternoon for you, or evening. We don't quite know where you're listening from. As you will see from the questions that we have on our live show this morning, people are listening from all over the world. So we're very, very grateful that our light family comes together when we do these pre-records and also, of course, when they air. So, my brothers and sisters, I do need to just start out with a few little business items, if I may. We have got a really wonderful book sale on for February, for Valentine's, the whole month of February. The problem is for our BBS people is that we record February shows in January, and so February shows don't air till March. So the bottom line of it is that you would miss out on this altogether and not be notified of it. So what we would like to do is whenever you hear these shows that are recorded in February, that is the one we're doing today, plus the previous four, whether they're on the archives or whether they are live, you mention this show as you call my office, and with the exception of the brand new book that has come out, Windows into Eternity, which sells at $19.95, and the Opening the Doors of Heaven, which is marked down $5 to $14.95. With the exception of that, all our other books are selling at $9.95. That is a 50% discount, except for the Aruba Serena book, which is a 66% discount. Our beautiful CD series, they're totally professionally made and pressed, not just run off. Their quality is very high. They are marked down. I think that they normally sell, I'm not sure, I think they sell normally for $12. I think they're marked down to $7.99. Ask my office. They will give you the exact numbers on those, but they're also at a substantial discount. So we wanted you to know that and be able to participate in it. So please just let my office know. Now, let us look at your questions. You know, I haven't had a time to read them over yet. I have a house full of my light family that is helping me with various projects. We've got Paul Downs, initially from England, who is our sound producer. We've set up a studio for him in one of our bedrooms so we can make all sorts of beautiful audiobooks for you, amongst many other beautiful products. And then we also have Rogier Shade. He is our video producer, and he is creating wonderful YouTube clips for you, amongst, again, many other products. We've got Hong An here as well, and we have got, I'm from Vietnam and originally raised in Paris, and Peter Ostis from Poland, now residing in Canada, but currently residing here as well. All of them are in very concerted efforts making life better and more interesting and getting some of the information to you. So my love to them always. They work very, very hard with much dedication. And so I did a huge lunch for them this morning, like a big spread, and now they can help themselves. So I didn't get to your questions, I've got to confess. However, then we're both surprised. So let's take a look, first of all, at Mark from Belgium. He says, I have a friend whose grandson lives in Thailand in a very unsupportive, unnurturing, and disharmonious environment. A few days ago, she started to work for him with the angels assigned to the Order of the White Rose, the one that I'm mentioning in Opening the Doors of Heaven, especially with Belevivastl Avet Sekrehuspa Elechvi, the one who shields against the folly of others. Since then, the situation seems to get even worse. How can this be? Mark, I'm very, very grateful that you're asking this question. And by the way, hello, I haven't seen you for a while, and nice to hear from you. Mark is one of the masters that belong to the Order of the White Rose, and I see him on occasion in Ireland as well. So my brothers and sisters, very glad that he asked this question, because it's time for humanity to grow up in, vis-a-vis their relationship to the hidden realms, and I would like to speak to you about angels. Let me tell you what happened to the angels. Now, on our last show, I mentioned to you, in fact, the entire last show was on angels, because of the fact that they came through and they just kept giving us information for the entire hour, something I hadn't actually expected. But spoke about their four centers that have been coming to us with major secrets, information, techniques, gates to help heal humanity, all sorts of things that have come through these centers. And they explained their outplay. I mentioned, and this was only recorded yesterday, actually, but for you, if you're a live listener, if you tune into the show, it would be the previous week's show. What happened, my brothers and sisters, is that in the night, the fourth temple actually opened. We're going to be speaking a little bit about angels so that Mark can understand in this instance what happened. The angels were in charge of these holy, holy centers. When I was in Curacao, what for me now is a few weeks ago, what happened is that the angels were actually relieved of duty of guarding these very holy sites. And the reason is that they were not properly doing it. They were doing it to the best of their ability. Please understand that angels represent the most feminine horizontal axis. In other words, very widely expanded, not always very practical, aspect, because they're receptive, as in feminine, for the cosmos. So that their way of handling situations, if somebody with hostile intent wants to access one of the gates, may not necessarily be the absolute correct way. The infinite took over those gates from the angels because the task was being inadequately done. So, my brothers and sisters, angels absolutely always have the purest intent. But we have this Christmas card, almost infantile, sort of a relationship with beings from the hidden realms of they know everything, we know nothing, they are all powerful, we somehow are not. This is a very erroneous, mistaken way of looking at the hidden realms. Angels have their strong suits. They also have their limitations. And this applies to every one of the kingdoms. Now, the bottom line of it is, and this actually I'm going to go right into a question about, some of our star brothers from Robin from Montana after we do this, because it ties into this. Humanity has all the follies and all the strong suits of cosmic races. Because they are this sort of cradle of civilization, it is from them that other races come. But now let's take a look at why, you know, the angels have guarded this for a long time. Their magic became corrupted. They weren't able to guard against subterfuge because they couldn't understand it. They had no ability to strategize over the eons of time. That's not their strong suit. And so, you know, when there were beings of illusion on Earth, they ran circles around the angels in outsmarting them, and, you know, it polluted at the end of the day not only their magic, but these magical sources had to be totally cleared and cleaned and upgraded, and the infinite completely remade them. So, now, how does this apply to your friend's grandson in Thailand? This particular angel shields by creating a very, very thick layer of love around somebody. When a thick layer of love is created around somebody, they don't feel what's coming at them, but in no way does this angel heal the cause of what is coming. In other words, it creates a shield of love. the one who shields against the folly of others. A shield of love makes it that the grandson may be at peace, even as the grandson sees the dysfunctional environment around him. Why would it get worse? Well, because as this grandson is healed by this angel, as a shield around the grandson is created, the grandson will have opposite energy and matter and be even more repugnant and be pushed by the unenlightened ones in his environment. Secondly, he won't seem to be as hurt. He won't react back in rage because of the fact that there is this shield of thick, thick love that's placed around him by this particular angel. That will infuriate them because their intent is to hurt and harm in their twisted way. It somehow makes them feel better, who knows. But their response back will be less in the old mode of things, and they're trying to pull the grandson back into the old games of I injure, you cry, or whatever it is that they were playing. Now, what do we do about this? Well, this is serving a purpose because the grandson will feel it less. It will be less able to get to him, if you understand. But, Mark, it is for this exact reason that the multiple techniques out there have been given. Example, if you look at the divinearchitect.com website, you can also look at the alchemical equations website, which is the www.wheelsofthegoddess.com. So we have the www.divinearchitect.com, Principles of Creation, and then we've got the Wheels of the Goddess. If you look at that as an example, you can find the correct equation, which will fit this particular situation, and you need to analyze what the exact causes are. For example, if it is addiction, let's say the parents are addicted, or one parent is addicted, the other parent is passive-aggressive, or whatever it is, but if it's addiction, addiction is caused, and Mark, this is where those insights that we study in classes come in really handy in identifying those particular equations. But if it's addiction, the person needs to come home to themselves. They need to take time to cry. They need to take time to find themselves. They need to learn to what is it that gives me joy, put some of those things in their life. If the person refuses to do that, because we cannot force these things on someone, we can just offer them blessings in the form of opportunities, then they may have to leave the family. But the point is that what is the real causes? Find the right equations. It's very helpful to use the divine architect principles because it deals with where all problems begin, which is with self. So, for instance, let's say that the father is not home for self, is therefore an alcoholic, hypothetically. You would be using the self wheels of self-presence, self-knowledge, self-forgiveness, self-love, etc. You would use, for instance, equations to do with finding fluidity in change, inclusiveness, things like that. I mean, you would send those things to, in the methods described on those websites, to the family, because this is very important that we start to understand as practitioners of light that we cannot just heal a portion of the puzzle and think that the entire picture changes. It is for this reason, and on the the forum, and you can go there by looking at our home site, www.spiritualjourneys.com. There is a list of all self-help techniques and healing techniques, where to go for what. For alchemy, you go here. For this, you go there. But the point is that if you put the whole picture together, why is this being caused? Now you're going to the root. This particular angel will just shield, you know, the one that you're asking him to shield. So it's only a partial solution. We have, as light workers, been decrying the medical profession's way of healing as one symptom instead of treating the person holistically. This is holistic spiritual healing. When you put all 13 websites that I have with techniques on them, lifeofmiracles.com has wisdom but not techniques. If you put, excluding my home site and Life of Miracles, there are 13 different sites with a comprehensive healing modality. And with the exception, you know, of Belvas Patah, all the others are free for anyone to use because they're incorruptible. They cannot be used incorrectly. So let's become holistic light workers, not just heal one part of the puzzle. This is a really nice lesson for all of us. Thank you, Mark, my love. And when we come back from this commercial break, we'll look at Robin from Montana's questions.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us today. I've got a question from Robin in Montana, and she's asking, could you comment on what the role is of what is commonly referred to as the Galactic Federation of Light? I know you have said that aliens are only allowed to be here to learn. However, would it not be possible that some of humanity, that is, humanity is the archetype, be monitored from off the earth? For example, couldn't a being from Sirius who is human and has human origins be helping or monitoring from off the earth at this time on the grounds that they are really not alien? Okay, let's tackle this sort of from the beginning to the end, and then she's got a really interesting second question here about the fairy kingdoms that came then from the other realms. My brothers and sisters, for those of you that are not familiar with the background of Robin, that Robin has here with her question, alien races may only visit the earth to learn at this point. Interference is not permitted. Let us not forget the true, true import of the fact that the infinite that gave life to every race, every planet, every creature in this entire cosmic life, actually has the only embodiment on Earth. The Earth is what rules everything. Not humanity per se, but in a way, yet humanity It is the infinite that rules everything from the earth. The cosmos is very aware of this. Humanity may not be yet. Humanity rules in the following way. As they get things, it ripples out and changes everybody. As they overcome things, it changes everybody else. That is the archetypal role that has been our blessing to play in the past. Now, the Galactic Federation that people are talking about did in fact exist. It existed up until 2005, when through a massive coronation of the infinite in the halls of Amenti, which was at that time the crust of the earth here on earth, the infinite embodied and was here on earth. And you can read about the coronation because of a situation that occurred in which I was able to view it, and I've written about it in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. That book was just so much fun to write for me. It's a very thick book. That's one of the ones that are now on sale for $9.95. But I give a detailed description of the coronation that took place here on Earth in 2005 of the Infinite Being. Up until that point, the Galactic Federation were very much involved with helping the Earth and trying to intervene, so that the Earth would stay in one piece, because they could see that it was crucial for their own survival. My brothers and sisters, we had become so bottom-heavy, so filled with density, that had the Earth not led the way in the ascension, over 52% of the cosmos would have perished. There was a huge war in the heavens planned and everything. It did not look good. They could see that somehow the Earth would be the one that would lead us out of the mess that we were in terms of how dense things had become. And the lords and gods of darkness had all gathered at these lower levels. So many of these planets would not have made it. The Galactic Federation of Light was designed to assist. You know, one of the ways that they wanted to assist is that they wanted, like the Pleiadians, had over 1 million of their beings embody here on Earth, coming into human form. And they wanted to do it like a shot in the arm to humanity, because humanity was weary and tired and all the other things. It had consequences, because the human grid is designed in a very specific way. Now, we had a grid in that time, which is not there any longer, because of the multiple changes that I describe day by day by day on my diary. If you go to www.almeendiary.com, you can walk that journey with us. So my brothers and sisters, we have had a situation where the changes that happened took away the grid. But up until that time, there was a grid around the planet, lines of light telling each species how to behave. Humanity had its own grid. When 1 million, the space aliens suddenly incarnated, and over 1 million, and that's just the Pleiades. When they incarnated, I used to see so many of them in my classes, actually. But when they came in, it affected the way humanity behaved. Humanity as the archetype then affected the cosmos. One of the examples of that is that our passion diminished. Sexuality was very much stronger for men and women on Earth up until 2005. Before they started coming in. They were coming in until 2005. As these aliens were born, and it's over the last sort of two decades, with each influx of aliens, passion diminished on Earth. When passion diminished, joy diminished. Joy in the homey things, and sitting on the porch and watching the sunset and things like that. And then work became overbalanced, because it was trying to fill the hole that happened in humanity when joy diminished because passion diminished. If you are familiar with the 12 pure pairs of emotions, which you can find, for example, example, on AlmeenHealing.com under the Belvaspatar section, you will notice that joy and passion are paired emotions. Exactly how that works, we explain very carefully. It's quite fascinating in the book, Journey to the Heart of God. So, my brothers and sisters, it watered down humanity as the archetype. So at some point, and I think it might have been in 2006 or maybe even early 2007, the Infinite declared that all the aliens that had come to Earth had a choice. They either had to leave and go back to their planets, or they had to stay. And if they stayed, they had to become human. So let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'll tell you what the upshot of all that was.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspatar, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. So what happened as a result of all of this? The Galactic Federation of Light may or may not still be going on. It doesn't really matter, because if it is going on, it will be governed from Earth. It is from here that the shots are being called for the rest of the cosmos. Humanity as an archetype is being kept really, really pristine. Now, let's go back to what you're asking. Is it so that others are perhaps studying us and helping us from Earth? See, Robin, the point is that who's better able to assist us, an alien that doesn't understand Earth life from somewhere, or the infinite being that created humanity and Earth life living on Earth, you see? So humanity does not need outside assistance with the one life expressing as the many embodied right here on Earth. So, you know, the lightest of the light is here on Earth. And so it isn't that we need their assistance. Are they studying us? Yes, they are. And very, very much so. And even in that, there are guidelines given that under circumstances where humans would prefer privacy, for instance, in their private life, when they go to the bathroom, when they're having sex, when they're whatever, when they're sitting in the bath. So things they wish to have privacy around, they may not be watched by a big-time audience. But there are multiple universities established in the solar system, on the planets here on the Earth. And remember, things that look barren at the level where we are, which is the very dense level, density, meaning that there's more matter involved than perhaps for others. So at the denser level where we are, the planets might look barren. You go up one level or two levels or three levels in terms of less matter, and you will find green lush planets. So there are universities established on the planets in our solar system where aliens from all over come to be able to observe and study Earth's life. Because it is in the interaction of the infinite with the beings on Earth that so much is understood about the laws of reality. So yes, they do study us. No, we don't need their assistance. We have the best assistant in the world, which is in the cosmos, which is the infinite. Now, let's go to question two, though. Also, you have mentioned the arrival of the fairy kingdom from the Pleiades, etc., and they have given us their magic. Why would fairy kingdoms from other planetary systems not be considered alien? The answer to that question lies in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, just an exquisite book, even if I say so myself, because, I mean, I basically was the scribe for the book. First of all, the unicorns and the Pegasus and so on in the first half of the book tell us what it was they were guarding and where they have been and why it is that we've constantly seen unicorn on Earth if they weren't actually here and so on. They tell us about themselves. But the second half of the book, I took dictation, my brothers and sisters, as we were given the history of the planet Earth and how it came to end up in the solar system. It did not originate here. It ended up on the other side of Mars, according to the history keepers of the cosmos, the Darklings, as they're called, who gave me all that information. We were the Tiamat, meaning Eternal Mother, because this has always been the Eternal Mother's planet. And so we were on the other side of Mars when Nibiru found that we were in their way, as their planet was approaching in the planet of Nibiru in an elliptical orbit that, according to our Sumerian records, took 3,500 years to complete. Nibiru is no more. It has not survived the ascension. Nor are any of the beings from Nibiru that we are used to thinking of as the Anunnaki leadership. They have not survived. My brothers and sisters, what we have, however, is that they shot Tiamat. Two-thirds of it broke off, becoming the asteroid belt. One of the moons of Mars at one point became the rest of it. And the Earth got into this position, started spinning in an opposite direction. So in our solar system, a planet that spins the other way than the other planets, that's because it was shot into this position. Now, the Earth started after the last huge Big Bang, meaning the large, huge descension prior to its ascension that began in February of 2005. There was a Big Bang that happened. At that time, the Earth ended up in a binary star system called Melaganiga and Obelisch, or Obelisch. The Obelisch is the Egyptian name. Melaganiga is what they call it on the planetary system themselves. That was one of those huge big stars that, you know, even stars at a higher level is a planet for beings to live on. The other star was called Kolob. And there's an Egyptian papyrus that the Mormon prophet bought off a peddler or somebody that had found it. He purchased it and translated it because he had a seer stone called the Urim and Thummim. And as he translated it, it spoke about Kolob being the sort of governing power, and Obelisch. Obelisch, I think it's Obelisch. Anyway, So the point is we started from there. As life fell, and there were nine levels that the earth fell through, described why they fell, what happened to Atlantis, what happened to Lemuria. All of this is in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, currently on sale for $9.95. In there, you see that the infinite could see that there was a great dissension happening, and the dissension for the infinite, because we were in the dream of the infinite at the time, the cycles of the fall, they were dream cycles, could see that the infinite, the mother, who's the one that engages in the dream, could see that she was falling more and more and more asleep into the deeper dream stages, and so would forget more. She would forget that it's just a dream. She put creational codes into the gems of her crown. She then gave the fairy groups of the earth gemstones to protect for her until the time that she would draw them all back again. As the planet left the star system of Kolob and Melaganiga, it was repelled away from them. And as it was repelled, it went through the different star systems, including Antares, Lyra, the Pleiades, Arcturus, and so on. Mother took some of the fairies from the earth, left them on those planets, and gave them to safeguard those gems with the creational codes in that pertain to the chakras. There were seven fairy groups, and some of them are photographed, and their languages given, and what they were holding in this very beautiful book, Aruba Fairina. We have color photos in there of a fairy right in front of my face. And it was, I believe, one of the fairies from Lyra. But anyway, my brothers and sisters, they originated from the earth. Now, you may then say, which Robin is pointing out, isn't it really that all races originated from earth? Yes and no. All races originated from earth, but they were created on their own planets. It's not that they lived on Earth as humanity. They came from humanity's DNA as offshoots, as planets were created. Aspects held within the archetype became races. They're not humanity. They're not from Earth. And they are, not part of the archetypal being known as humankind. So the fairies, on the other hand, did originate here. Some of them even kept their earth languages, like you find the fairies that were left on Lyra. Half of them decided they wanted at all costs to keep their original earth language. The fairy language that I indicate in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you find again repeated in the book Aruba Fairina, which means gift of love. It's the gift the fairies gave, is that book, to humanity. So my brothers and sisters, you can see that it's the same language. Even though the group is the earth fairies from Lyra, as we call them, because they spoke the earth language, the other group also came from the earth, but they adopted the fairies from Lyra's language. When Mother restored these fairies, it was during the week that they allowed us to get their information. The room was so thick with these fairy groups as they came in. We felt like we had to crawl on the floor to get air. It felt so thick because there were thousands of fairies. We took photos of them. You can see it in color in the book arubafairina.com. On the website arubafairina.com, you see the Kachina race is coming back. In the book Aruba Fairina, you see the fairies coming back. But they were originally from Earth. They were just on a mission for Mother. So let's look at Robin's last question. What is the current status of Mother's death sentence given to the dark controllers during your, I don't mention other radio shows on this radio show, but it was another radio show on November 22nd, 2008, and it was done live. How many were sentenced? there sure seems to be too many of them still around. Okay, let's take a look and go through this. My brothers and sisters, I was interrupted in the middle of my show. It very rarely happens that, but it, you know, as you know, I was called in February of 2005 by the Infinite Being and given the instruction that I had to gather the major light workers of the planet and prepare them to create heaven on earth here on the planet. And to create the New Jerusalem and the establish the reign of the embodiment of the infinite here on earth in physicality by preparing those who knew that this was part of their work. So that's what I've been doing. I've been giving information that most people walk away from, and it hasn't been financially always the easiest thing to do because I only am teaching for the tippy top of the pyramid that goes, yes, I've been looking for this all my life. Most people go, is she crazy? And they walk away. And she's telling me stuff like, the sky is no longer the same. There's just a hologram keeping the image in place as though it is. You know, all these things. And they walk away. But those that it goes, yes, I know this information already. It's just like she's reminding me. And those are the people that Mother sent me out to get. My brothers and sisters, since then, when something is put into the laws of existence, then I am to speak it, and I spend, I spend about 6 hours average a day doing this. Some days it's less, but other days it's the whole darn day. Just repeating after the infinite, because everything has to be anchored into the physical. Otherwise, the rest of life gets better, moves upwards, and physicality stays behind. So I have to speak it into the physical after the infinite. Hence, the languages that I speak of the infinite. So I was in the middle of a show, and all of a sudden, you know, I did actually become aware that there were very, very high-level beings listening to that show. That is not the usual run-of-the-mill, let's check our citizens and make sure they're okay and towing, the line and that sort of thing. Not very high-level. And I became aware of that, and I was just giving my show, and all of a sudden, the language of the infinite started speaking, and I was told translate, and I had to speak it in English, and it pronounced the death sentence on those that think that they rule the earth, and are sort of the force behind the government. It's the top echelon. How many? Boy, I don't know. I was shaking like a leaf by the time I was done to think that this was going on public radio and everything, not out of fear, but just out of, oh my gosh, can't I rather be baking cookies? You know, this is an uncomfortable situation on one of my radio shows, but I did what I had to do. I don't know. I can ask the infinite and then we'll see. The Ishtahva Sunat Vahai. Ishba Unus. Only 4,200. But remember, the top 9 plus 1 had already been removed. Those were the absolute capstone. Ishirtesa Unus. Yes, she is correct. That there is, in fact, too many left. Pirpa eyesh kaska eshvesta uchnamavi. They remain in as a indicator of illusion left within the being of the infinite. That which is seen as real when it is not. Beshperkie inish savar kava heshpa us inech. As that is done day by day, which incidentally you can follow on our Twitter page as well as on our blog diary each day. As it is done day by day, as life is purified, we are automatically losing more and more and more of those beings. It is a mistake to believe everything that is coming through the internet. It is disinformation, and when enough major lightworkers believe it, it keeps things in place longer. We should see things as they really are, even when their forms linger on. Let us have a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. We've got about, about 8 minutes left. And let me just peek here and try and find exactly a question that is short enough for us to fit in there. And then the rest of your questions I will answer the following hour. And as we pre-record, we usually record 2 hours with just sort of a 5-minute break in between. So for those of you that are joining me on our pre-record this morning, if you'll bear with us and stay on the line for 5 minutes, I will come back and answer the rest of the questions. Let's look at Nancy from Arizona's questions. She says, on one of your talk radio shows, I think you had mentioned that for initiations of Belvaspata, there is no longer needed to pulse the emotions, which I do believe you mentioned there are even more emotions now that the DNA rose has been upgraded. Does this change the process or the procedure for initiation as well as for sessions with Belvaspata? No, it doesn't actually change the process or the procedure or the way that initiations and sessions are done. But what it does do, Nancy, is that instead of saying when I go deeply into passion, I'm only in passion. Then I snap out of passion and go back into joy. The further I go into passion, the further I go into joy. This procedure has been the case. So, you know, in my previous answer, when I explained how when our passion left because of all these alien beings coming in here, where on their planet it's pretty passionless, and they come and incarnate in humanity, humanity changed because of it. I am still talking as though it is pulsing, because it did in those days, and it affected us quite substantially. Because we didn't go deeply into passion, we couldn't go deeply into joy. And life became very gray. And then people looked for kicks, you see. But we don't need to go deeply into joy and then deeply into passion. Those, they are still paired emotions, but they function simultaneously. Let me give you an example. When I go into the mountains in eastern Oregon, especially in about another sort of, you know, month or so when it's truly spring in the mountains, we've got this volcanic range running down the center of Oregon, and I'm on the coast. So if I drive through them, what you find is wonderful little field flowers growing everywhere. And I always notice them, and they make me so happy, and I just sometimes just get out just to examine in detail the tiny, tiny ones that I would miss just driving in the car because they're not growing in mass. So, but when I stop to enjoy the joyousness that these little field flowers in their perfection bring me, they're so hardy. They grow up in the high mountains, but they're so delicate, and they give me such a feeling of joy. I can feel underneath it that it is also inspiring passion. It always makes me want to create embroidery or a painting or drawings of these little tiny field flowers. So now it stimulates creative passion. So in evaluating which passions in our life we want to pursue, it's guided by what is going to produce joy within us. The joy is not isolated from the passion. They are felt simultaneously. So where the change more is, Nancy, is in preparing to become initiated into Belvaspata, or in working with somebody that's on the table in front of you, a client, and, you know, it's a chemical healing modality, so you become everything, then these equations within you, which are chemical, alchemical frequencies that ripple through these emotions, they still ripple through you. They're just not going to be so separative. In internalizing it, you understand that these two work together, and then you just simply experience them. If you want to experience first one and the other, you can, but you don't have to pulse them. Now I'm into the joy. Now I go into the passion. You can feel them simultaneously guiding one another. Now, she's asking, does this change the, is this because of the new Karnish Belvaspata as well as the 10 last frequencies? What is because of the Karnish Belvaspata is that we have got a shortening of the processes. The beginning level one Belvaspata healing modality and level two are now done simultaneously. They represent the cleaning out of the subconscious mind, lower mind. Now you wait the period to mastery, which then can be done simultaneously with grand mastery, which now represents the middle mind, the left and the right brain of somebody. Karnish Belvaspata, which is the Belvaspata, a healing modality of enlightenment, can be practiced at any level, but it represents high mind. And it is because of Karnish Belvaspata that those things have been shortened. The the waiting periods and can be done simultaneously. As for the 10 lost frequencies, and incidentally, last night two more came in, and it is the one of hope, hope and optimism, and faith in exponential growth. Those came in last night. So we have a total of 12 new frequencies. But they have actually currently nothing to do with Belvas Patah. They are affecting all life, but they have currently nothing to do with Belvas Patah. I say currently because there is a connecting of dots that have been made over the years that is beginning to happen, that the angels explained in last week's show, that I did not expect, of course, and I didn't foresee, and I'm just astonished by its perfection. Belvas Patah is starting to tie in with many of the other teachings in a way that I did not understand. Now we know why. And it's Mark's question from Belgium this morning that was able to tie that together for us. We're to do holistic light work. Belvas Patah is our healing modality given to us by the infinite that upgrades each time the cosmos changes so that it never becomes obsolete. And it's tying in with alchemy, with the divine architect creative principles, with the incorruptible angelic magic we are being presented with, and so on. All of it is tying in with it. So I don't know what the future holds for what Belvas Patah will tie into, but these frequencies are more notes that were placed in the infinite being, if you will. And they were done over the last few weeks. My brothers, sisters, we've come to the end of a very nice show together. Thank you so much. I say it's nice because of your questions. I hope you have enjoyed it too. Thank you, and we'll be pre-recording yet again in a few minutes.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week. Thank you.